Well, finally, to wrap this up, you know, if there's any sort of themes or overall, you know, overarching ideas that you see show up in multiple ways throughout the Gospel of Mark, what would there be one or two that you'd want to bring up and note for everybody who's listening?
Well, connected to the what I was talking about before, about what provoked such antagonism to Jesus and his message. I think what was so dangerous is that the power Jesus is talking about is the opposite of the coercive power that most of us think of when we think of the word power, because the power that Jesus is talking about is the power of to forgive. And in archetypal thinking, the concept is that to be healthy, to become whole, we need to become use four different ways of our being: emotional, intuitive, physical, and mental. So being clever, for example. But if you're just clever, that's not enough. Jesus talks a lot about not hardening your heart, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And there is the typical power is of that people understand is of physical strength, and Jesus shows us physical strength, but in an unusual way. His physical strength is his going without, you know. And then the last power is intuition. And I think to understand his parables, at some moment, we need some kind of intuition to understand them. So Jesus's power, he is requiring us to use all those four ways of being in order to heal ourselves and to grow and to be full human beings.
I think, just thinking now about you speaking about power, and you think about comparing all sorts of other literature, when we get, you know, a strong man or woman on the scene, or the gods intervene, you know, in some, you know, like Greek literature, stuff like that, there's often, like you said, like this display of power. But so often it's like prowess at war, or you know, like you said, these real physical demands on other people. But here comes Jesus showing he's powerful, but what's he doing with this power? Well, he heals people, mm-hmm. right, instead of destroys them. He stops the raging waters, showing that he's in control of nature itself. And what I, you know, we talk about if you're going to, like, join the characters in the story, not having set up all like you were pointing out, you know, power restrained always shows itself as more powerful, right? You know, if someone who's only a bully sort of will show, like, they'll try to show how powerful they are completely, right? Because they want you to be scared. But Jesus, who can control nature, rarely uses it. Mm-hmm. And when he does, it's just enough, right? It's just enough to calm the waters. And that, I think, is when we talk about them seeing all this, and he's walking on water and calming storms, and they're just amazed. They're amazed that, well, if he can do that, what else could he do? And he doesn't. And then you think about all this going back, you know, ending up with Jesus on the cross, all these people who knew all that he could do. And so you start to understand the jeers when he's on the cross. If you were who you said you were, come down. Mm-hmm. But then what we go is, like, if we were paying attention, it's precisely because he's powerful in a new way that he doesn't come down. All the bullies and the tyrants of the world would use all the power they could to get off the cross, and he won't. And so all of this confusion, this bafflement, this constriction, and all that we were talking about ends finally with the one human being understand, and it's the Roman pagan. It's the centurion whose job has been physical power his whole life. Mm-hmm. And he looks up and he sees this new power and says, truly this was the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, that sort of the balance comes in with everything else that we, the plot is preparing us for that moment to be the big moment.
Mm-hmm.
That the big hulky centurion is the one who notices this new power.
And the beauty is the irony of Mark, who tells the story, cutting to the chase, not laying out all the philosophy, and that he's the one who gets to the only way to get to why this is true and why this is beautiful is to leap beyond the physical.
And I think that it's like you said, the minute that we look at Mark as someone who was thinking about how to tell this story in a powerful way, there's the word again, in a powerful, balanced way to his audience, that he does such a good job of leading us down to this event. So much so that, you know, now that you've read it once, and I mean, surely you've read it once, and you're reading it again, the second time you read it, that cross is hanging over every episode, right? And to me, this is the fantastic thing about the best literature on earth, but particularly about the best stories in the Bible. The reason we keep reading them again, right, is because it's not just about getting information and remembering it. It's that each reading sort of compounds on the next reading. And so now when we're reading, you know, this is the parable of the sower, now we're thinking about all these events that happen later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not us like jumping, you know, ahead in the story. It's us realizing that it's almost like Mark expected us to hear it more than once, and that all of these like different moments start to connect and thread together. And it's like you said, like it's his patience in storytelling that allows this.
Yeah, and his willingness to tell the story in a broken way. So, for example, we hear first that John has been killed, and it's not till much later that we learn why.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always doing work to put things together.
And I mean, just that simple point. I think I actually might talk about this with Tina as well. You know, I'm going to chiastic. I'm not going to get too much into it, but Mark does this all over the place where he starts, interrupts, mm-hmm. and then finishes the last story. And yes, it's an old, like I said, it's a rhetorical device, and I do plan to talk about it later. But to make your point salient, he does that all the time so that we're like hanging two things at once. And so like, and you know, I forget, one of my professors at Duke, they always made the point that like what scripture does, why it's so easy to do something like Lectio Divina, is because scripture is full of irritants. Like you getting a piece of sand in your eye. And of course, all good literature is full of irritants, where we're expecting something and then it stops. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, well, why are we talking about this woman now with the issue of blood or however it is? And then we switch and we have the old thing in mind while we're thinking of this, and then it flips over and we finish the old story, but with that you know, the sandwich in between. Mark's whole gospel is sort of like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one giant sort of, you know, what happens between two commas or, you know, like two parentheses. And it's like you said, he trusts the reader enough to do this. Isn't he the only one too that says, let the reader understand, or am I thinking of Luke? I thought there was a moment where Mark says, let the reader understand, but anyway, don't listen to me.
I think that the last thing that I would say is that I also teach about what is a plot. A plot, E.M. Forster says, a story is like the way a child tells a dream. Oh, first I was running and a monster grabbed me, and then I fell in quicksand, and then this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And it goes on and on and on, event after event after event. And a plot is this happens, and this happens, and this happens, and there's the question behind it all is why? How did these events all connect? And that's what Mark's way of telling does to us, by putting off why was John killed, and that's an irritant, as you said. We're wondering, why was he killed? And then we get other information in between. Oh, that connects to people forgiving one another or not following this law strictly, that this law isn't good enough. So it makes for cause and effect and plot.
Well, Margaret, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed getting to do this, and I'm hoping anybody who's listening, I think they'll benefit immensely from thinking this way. But it's been a real pleasure, so thank you very much.
You're welcome, Beau.